Adam. Adam. Where are you? Do you think God needed information that morning? You know, when God asks questions, he's not lacking information. He's trying to reveal something. And yet, that day is a memorable day when you think about it. There had been this unique relationship between man and his Creator. That God had made man and woman, had placed them in the garden, had given them purpose, and had begun to walk in relationship with them. And Adam and Eve chose to walk right out of that relationship. They made choices that broke their relationship with God. And it broke their relationship with each other. If you have a chance, we're not going to go there this morning, but you can look in Genesis 3 and read that whole story, you know, where choices were made. And you know, I know men like to blame that on Eve, you know, but the Bible says that the man was right there. But you know, the blaming started right there. You know, I can sure hear it later on, you know, with Cain and Abel. Yeah, your mom ate us right out of our last house. But some of you are going to wake up to that. That's all right. That's all right. That's okay. The issue of how can we walk in right relationship with God starts right there in the very first book of the Bible. The problem started right there. And it's still a key question for us to answer. How can man live at peace with God? Because as soon as he made that choice and said, God, I don't care what you say, I'm going my own way. And God says, okay, fine. You can go your own way. It's almost like, not in my house. You know, kind of moves him out of that place of the garden and says, okay, you're not coming in here. And there is, from that time on, there's been space between God and man. 6,000 years of space. And in fact, there's been space in human relationships. You'll see that. They began hiding from each other. And so hiding is a very common response to our problem. Isn't that right? Because Adam knew. God had said, you do this, you'll die. Now, we look back on that and think, oh, well, he probably thought this. Okay, go with me for a second. Nobody had ever died before. So what would dying mean? You know, I wonder how much he understood about what the consequence was. He just knew this is going to cause separation between me and you. This is going to change the way of life. And God had designed a life for them. They chose a different life. And we've all done that, haven't we? We've all chosen our own way in this life. And yet, God wants you and I to be reconciled to Him. Reconciled. We've been talking, we've begun this series this year about the new you, and that God wants you to be in this relationship, in a new relationship. And last week we talked about the fact that you are a new creation. You've been changed. And in that changed relationship, in that changed personhood, from there, God wants you to be able to walk in a unique relationship. I believe He's actually seeking to restore that relationship. It's interesting. It says that Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden. They heard God's presence. They knew He was with them, but it made them do what? Hide. When we don't feel safe in relationships, what do? We hide. Yeah, it is a natural choice. We've been doing it for some time. How do we move out of a hiding relationship into a reconciled relationship? Well, I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And yes, we were in this general location, exact location last week. And Lord willing, we're going to be in this location again next week. I'm going to hope to teach it till we get it. So, and I'm still getting it. So, but I want to take some time, because I think there's a tendency sometimes to just jump past foundational truth. Whereas God would want you to get a grip on this because I think it can radically change your perspective. So here we are, we're in an estranged relationship with God. We chose our own way. It separated us from God. So now we need what? We need a word from God and we need a way to God because it's the way's been broken. All right, and this passage here talks about that again. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, and as though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That we might become right with God again. That's God's plan, is that you would be right with him. And I don't know where you are this morning in your heart or in your mind, but before you leave this morning, it is my desire that you could say, I'm right with God. That is the most incredible blessing to be able to realize, is that you can be right with God. And you can know you're right with God. You can be reconciled. So let's take a look at this and see what this means. So we saw there again in 17, if you're in Christ, if your faith is in Christ, if you've put a trust in Jesus Christ and what he has done, you are a new creation. And so once again, that takes us back to where? You think of the old creation. It takes you back. So you're something new. You're back into a relationship with God. And it's interesting, he points something out, and this shows the difference between Christianity and all other religions. You see, all other religions will tell you, okay, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this, and if you'll do all these things, then you can somehow propitiate, you can somehow calm down your God that's mad at you. And you look at it, in every religion, they're offering a sacrifice to calm down God, to keep God from whacking you. Alright? So man's known that God's angry for some time. Why? Because man rebelled against God. We rejected his authority, and we've been living in that estranged relationship. Okay? But he says here, this is what's different about Christianity. He says, all these things are from God. Not from us. This is what we have done. It's what he has done. All these things are from God who reconciled us to himself. He reconciled us to him. We didn't reconcile ourselves to him. He did the work. We're going to trust what he has done to put us back in right relationship. And I want to explain what that means. But here again, this statement before we go into some of the details, is that God wants you in right relationship with him. That's his desire, that you be in right relationship with him. Look what it says. He reconciled us to himself through Christ. He reconciled us to himself through Christ. The Father reconciles sinners to himself by how? By sacrificing his son. That's a hard thing to comprehend. I believe that's just about takes our little human mind and goes beep, overload. You know, you just can't quite process that idea that God would say, rather than have you be forever separated from me, I will experience separation from my own son, that you could be brought into relationship. So it is through Christ, all right? And And we say, well, you know, I just don't feel very good about my walk with God. I don't feel very good about this aspect of God. And oftentimes when you say that, why don't you feel good about it? And the next thing you're going to say is, because I... Okay, but how do we get reconciled? Because he. Do you understand? When you're basing your reconciliation upon your behavior, you're looking at the wrong person. Okay? The issue is to look at Christ and what he has done. All right? You will never find righteousness by looking at your performance. You're never going to look at that and say, that was absolutely perfect, couldn't be a bit better, will you? You know, you've had some good days. You know, you've had some days that, you know, I don't think I did anything blatantly wrong today. You know, that's kind of a good day, right? But you can't say I didn't. You know, we always know I could have done a little better. And God's holiness and righteousness is so great because it's trusting him, all right? So, how do we get to a place of reconciliation? Somebody put it this way. It says, to believe and consent to be loved while yet feeling unworthy. That's the process. Consent to be loved. To allow God to love us. Because reconciled means to call back into union, into friendship, into an affection when you had previously been alienated. All right? Adam walked away. It's pictured very well in what God did. Isaiah 53, verse 6. Would you read it with me? All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. We'd gone astray. And yet, he brings us back. So that there was an alienation. So why do we need to be reconciled? Because sin earns God's wrath. Right? When somebody sins against you, doesn't it make you angry? The anger comes up pretty fast, doesn't it? Can you imagine if you were totally perfect? You know, sometimes I really can't get mad at them because I've done that too. You know? Well, God will never say that. I can't get mad at them because I've done that too. He's totally perfect. He's totally righteous. And he says, I in my goodness have reached out to you. You rebelled against me. He says, that rebellion has to be punished. But only God can remove the wrath of God. We can't do it. So we have to look to him for it. Look at this next verse because it brings up that word trespass. You know, trespass, that means to... You know, you think of the idea of walking onto somebody else's property, being someplace you don't belong. You've trespassed, all right? The Bible says here, namely that, verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now I'm going to tell you something, because some of you are thinking, he's missing part of the message. No, I'm saving part of this, okay? What I find so often when I get into this passage, and this is one of my favorite passages, when I get into this passage, I want to jump to talking about the fact that God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I want to talk about the fact that God gave us the word of reconciliation, and that we're an ambassador. You're supposed to take it out there. But what I find in my own experience and visiting with many of you, is that we're uncomfortable taking the message out there, which really means we haven't fully accepted and grasped the reconciliation that he's done. Because you're worried about somebody else's rejection when you share Christ, it's because you haven't experienced the acceptance of God that makes you feel secure. When you feel the security that comes from truly knowing that there is nothing that I'm going to do that will separate me from the love of God, then I can be secure in my relationships. So we're going to talk about the ministry he gives us. We're going to talk about, but the message is this. Look at the 19th verse. That God was in Christ reconciling this world. Okay? Not counting their trespasses against them. Father Here's your second principle. Father is not counting trespasses against sinners. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes in my life, particularly I think back as a child, you almost had this view, and I forgot to put it up here. The God's up there with a calculator, you know, just wow, he's just, you did it again and again and again. Oh boy, what does it say? He's not counting. Think about that. He's not counting. You and I are. We do it with each other. That's a whole other thing we're going to talk about. How does reconciliation affect your horizontal relationships? Somebody else said, you did that again. And you did that back in 1955, too. You know, some people don't get hysterical, they get historical. You know, they keep track of that stuff. Hey, we count. That's our nature. And God says, I want you to understand the relationship I want you to have with me. And here's the relationship. I'm not counting your trespasses. Now notice this. He's not saying you don't have trespasses. See, this is where we get confused. Wait a minute. If I've got trespasses, then surely God's counting. No, he says, you have trespasses. The Bible says, if you say you have no sin, what? You're a liar. Yeah, you're deceiving yourself. You say you don't have sin, you're deceiving yourself. You may not have as much sin as somebody else, but I'm here to tell you, God doesn't grade on a curve. If you've sinned, you've fallen short of the glory of God. But he says he's not counting trespasses. Why is he not counting trespasses? Because they were all counted, and they were all placed on who? On Jesus Christ. Look at that 21st verse. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. That God took Jesus Christ and put our sins upon him. And if all my sin went upon Christ, then how much do I have? None. That's hard to say, isn't it? I have no sin on me. It's on Christ. Why did Jesus stop counting? Why is Father not counting? Because Jesus paid it all already. Tell that to the person next to you. Jesus paid it all already. It's already paid for. It's already paid for. You see, you know, sometimes we think about that. Well, you know, I became a Christian, but I prayed for my sins were forgiven. But what about all these things that have happened since then? You know, well, he paid for your sins when? Before you were born. He paid for everything once for all time. That's what it says in Hebrews 10:12. Read it with me. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. How many sacrifices? How many sacrifices? How many sacrifices?
One.
Okay. Okay. We're going to get there. We'll get there. All right. One sacrifice for how many sins? Oh. For how long? For how long?
All time.
All time. Some of you had the calculator going this morning, didn't you? You know, I mean, it is not Sunday morning one of the greatest relational tests of all time? You know, it's just you kind of get to church and you kind of go, okay, I didn't kill him, so I should be forgiven. You know? And somebody told me, by the way, that, you know, being a grandparent, that's the reward for not killing your children when you were raising them. You know? But if all your sins were being counted against you, you could not come to God. See? But if all your sins were counted and placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ upon that cross and paid for upon that, one sacrifice for all sin, for all time. Then when I come to Father, what's He say? Welcome. I think there's a tendency for us, even as believers, to think that when we come to Father, He's going to say, how come you did that? I mean, didn't you grow up with that, dreading that one certain phrase that sometimes would pop out of mother's mouth, wait till your father gets home? What was that about? And there's an accountability. And there is an accountability. I want you to understand, the sin brings penalty. But Christ took the penalty on Himself. Jesus took God's wrath on Himself. What was between you and I, what created the separation, starting all the way back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, has been put on Jesus Christ. So that you and I could freely come into God's presence. The greatest demonstration of God's love is that it removes us from God's wrath. Hey, I think sometimes when we talk about this issue today, it's just, you know, God loves you. He just wants you in the family. And we don't understand, God loves you when you were deserving to be punished forever. And He wants you in the family. You're saved from a wrath that is surely coming. The Bible says there's coming a day when if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will spend forever away from the presence of God. But He's made provision for you to spend forever in His presence. And so what I have to say to you is that God is not angry with you. Do you believe that? Now think about it. When we sin, sometimes we get angry with who? Ourselves. Right? We get very angry with ourselves. Why? I thought I was better than that. Guess you were deceived again, weren't you? You know, we get disillusioned with ourselves. Why? Because you've got an illusion about yourself. You think you're better than that. I'm here to tell you, this flesh is nothing but flesh. And all it's going to do is keep acting like flesh unless I let the Spirit transform my lifestyle. It will keep choosing sin. I shouldn't be surprised that my body chooses sin. When I'm surprised by that, it's like, oh, yeah, it's still acting like what it is. You know, dogs bark, right? That's who they are. And we choose sin if we leave our mind in that mindset. Don't be surprised by that, but be transformed by that. That God has provided a way for you to live in relationship with Him. Isn't it interesting that when His Son came, He came saying what? That you're acceptable. Can you think of how acceptable we are to God? Is that He put His Son in our lives? And that when He was here, who felt comfortable coming to Him? Children? The sick? Who else? Sinners, yeah. Prostitutes felt comfortable coming to Him. Tax gatherers, the cheats, felt comfortable coming to Him. People felt comfortable coming to who? To the Son of God. You know, sometimes I think about that and say, I don't think we've quite got it. You know, I mean, we read the stories. I've read them and read them and read them. But to understand that they felt that comfortable coming into His presence. And God wanted us to see what? This Jesus is my Son. This is how I feel about you. That's what He was sent for. He was sent to reveal to us the Father so that we'd know how Father felt. And He even told stories about that. Isn't that in Luke 15, the prodigal son story? Isn't that one of the greatest of all time? And what does it show to us? That the son that rebels, walks out on dad, takes all of the blessing, all the life, all of that which God has, which Father gave to him. It's a direct picture, friends. And goes out and wastes it. And Father was what? Waiting to welcome him home. See, that's the message of reconciliation, is that God is not counting your trespasses against you. God is not angry with you. You may be angry with you. See, you may be mad because I wasted it. You know, you may be embarrassed because, you know, I thought I was going to do so good. And I made such a mess of my life. And now you're too ashamed to come back to him. To come back to what? To love? Deal with your pride. Lay it down at the cross. You are welcome in the Father's house. You are welcome in the Father's house. That's one of the reasons I put that little thing on that sign outside the door that says, no perfect people allowed. Because we're not perfect. You are welcome in the Father's house. Come as you are. Now, God loves you too much to leave you as you are. You know, as soon as he came back to Father, what did Father say? Put a new robe on him. Let's change what he's dressed in. Let's deal with this. So Father's got plans for you, but you're welcome in the Father's house. Look at this message. He says, therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ, and as though God were making an appeal to us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, what? Be reconciled to God. It's a choice to trust. What's the message? The message is that reconciliation is available. Come on home. And I want to spend some time next week talking about giving out that message. But right now, I want you to think about that message for you. God's been reconciled. I mean, God looked at his accounts and said, how do I make these accounts right? Somebody has to pay. And so he put his son on the payment side. And when he looks at your account and it says, filthy, rotten, rebellious, selfish sinner. Is that the truth? Yeah, that's what it said. And over here on the side, it says, maybe it's right across the top, paid in full by Jesus Christ. Your faith is in him. That's what it says. Paid in full by Jesus Christ. So what's he say here? Then be reconciled to God. Turn from your hostility to God, that God doesn't know what's best for me. Isn't that what the prodigal son said? Hey, I'm going to go out on my own. Isn't that what Adam said? You guys don't really know what's best. God, you said this. You're keeping me back. Isn't that what people think about sin? Oh, this is God's killjoy. He doesn't want me to have fun. So he's not letting me poison myself. And he's not letting me make these choices. And we reject God. And God says, would you turn around? I've already turned towards you in my son. And that's what the cross says continually. And the cross is empty in our circle. Why? Because the sacrifice is done. The son has come down. The father has accepted the sacrifice. You are welcome to come back to him. I was raised with five brothers and sisters. There was occasionally conflict in our 900 square foot home. I don't know what happened, but I remember this happening one time as I got really angry about the way I was being treated. And probably because I'd been disciplined again for my selfish behavior. But I decided that I'd had enough of this. I didn't have to be treated like this. What was I going to do? I'm going to run away. You know, when you live in the wilderness, you need to think a little bit before you run away. But I really didn't. I didn't really do that, so, you know, 2 miles outside of Gaskey, man, I had to just head out into the woods, and I'm trucking up the side of the hill, and position myself up on the side of the hill and begin to think about it, you know. And, boy, I was really angry. And then, you know, after a while, you're going, huh, what am I going to do about this? I'm depending upon somebody else to feed me. I'm depending upon somebody else to keep. I'm in total dependence upon the person that I am estranged from. And as I sat up on this ridge up in the trees, I still remember it. I remember seeing the travelall leave my house. And I remember watching it driving slowly up the road. My parents were looking for their son. And I remember thinking, hey, they want me. That feels good. Even though I've run away, even though I've made this choice, they still want me in that family. They're looking for me. And then, of course, it was embarrassing, isn't it? It's embarrassing to come down off your high horse on your high mountain, and you know, you can't sneak into a 900 square foot house. It's just not possible, you know. And you kind of come in and to be welcomed. Where you been? How you doing? I remember him taking some time to talk to me about my anger. I'm not sure I resolved it, but, you know, as children, sometimes we have a hard time resolving our anger, don't we? But, you know, the message here says, be reconciled to God, is you have to choose to turn around and come home to experience the fact that God's not counting your trespass. God's not counting the trespass, but the prodigal wasn't feeling that out in the slop. He was feeling the separation still. There was no separation between father towards him. It's just he was feeling the separation because he had chosen to reject. He'd chosen to be angry with God, the people of God, whatever. Here's your third principle. Reconciliation requires a response from the sinner to the Father. Be reconciled to God. Quit hiding. That's my invitation to you. And if you don't start it with Father, you'll never do it with people. Because people are flaky. I'm here to tell you, they are flaky. Is that true? Yeah. So how do you trust people that are going to hurt you? It's by trusting a Father who will always fix you. A Father who will always heal you, who will always strengthen you. Quit holding your hostility towards God. Long ago, He paid it all for you. Let go of the sin. Repent. I mean, turn around. Go back the Father's direction. Who does He justify? He justifies the ungodly. Romans 4:5. But to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. If you want to be justified, declared righteous before God, there's something you have to do to admit that you're not. That you're not righteous. To admit that you are ungodly. To admit that you need that. And when you do, God justifies. He justifies the ungodly. It's not that you get your life cleaned up and you come back to God. It's that you come back to God saying, I can't seem to get this life cleaned up. He says, welcome home. Welcome home. Sinners who trust the Son's sacrifice are reconciled to God. You understand what that means? That God does not just tolerate you in the family. He doesn't just tolerate you. That He celebrates you. That He's delighted that you're a part of His family. Because what? Because He's not counting your trespasses. The reason you think that God only tolerates you is because you're looking at what? Your trespasses. But if your trespasses have been put on Christ and have been removed from you, you need to quit looking at your trespasses and begin focusing upon your Savior, and you can walk in relationship with God again because He's paid it all. Friends, if you don't hear it any other way, let me state it about as simple as I can state it. God is for you. All right, four people got it. That's not bad. We got four. All right. I said, God is for you. Amen. See, you can live your whole life thinking God is after you. I'm here to tell you, if you think God is after you to punish you, He'd already got it done, man. Romans 8:31 says it this way. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Wow. What do you say? If God's for you, who's against you? Well, maybe a whole bunch of people. If God's on your side, you're okay. You're okay. Listen. With this comes a whole bunch of things. We're not going to be unable to unpack it all, but I want you to think about it. I give you extra information in your notes so you can do more study on your own. Be a Berean. Go search this out. But forgiveness is freely there, friends. There's nothing he's holding against you. Acceptance, that you are fully acceptable to God right now, is there. And friendship. The idea of God being your friend, does that sound weird to you? God wants to be your friend. He's made provision for that. We may not have been friendly towards him, but he extended it, he proved it beyond a shadow of doubt through Jesus Christ. But what's the devil's lie? I want you to see this. He did it all the way back there in the garden. He said what? God's holding it out on you. God is what? Against you. That's what he said in the garden. And the devil wants you to believe that you are not who God says you are and that you cannot do what God says you can do. And if you believe it, you'll live like a slave rather than a son. And you'll be hiding because you'll be afraid that the slave master is coming after you. I'm here to say the Father wants to welcome you home. It's time to come home. You are a new creation. You are a reconciled son. Father is walking through the garden. I'm here to tell you, it's time to come out of the bushes and meet the Father. Because Father makes sinners who believe his Son friends. Friends. That's his plan for you. Where are you at with that? I'm going to ask us to think about that right now. If you'd like to bow your head, you can. If you want to look at me, you can. I want you to think about it with God. This ain't about me. I'm in the same spot with you, learning this truth and looking to embrace it. But where are you at with God? Have you been looking at God as counting your trespasses against you? Or have you been looking at God as preparing a place for you? Let's talk to him about that right now. As your head's bowed, if you have never came to the Father and said, I'm a sinner who needed your Son to be my Savior, today's the day to do that. If you want to say, I'm tired of running away, I want to come home, today is the day to do that. And that's a simple request to the Father, to say, Father, save me. Put my sins on Christ. I deserve to die, but he died. I believe that. I accept his sacrifice for me. Can you do that right now? Just say to him, Lord, save me. And for some of you here, you've been a son or a daughter of his for a long time. But maybe you've been running. You've been deceived for a while about how he really sees you. Are you willing to come back and say, I am your child. I want to come home. Go ahead and call him. You can always call on Father. Father, we come to you right now to thank you for your reconciliation. To thank you for sending Jesus Christ to pay for it all. And we just receive it by faith. We don't understand it. It's beyond our comprehension that you would do that for us. But you did. And so now we just ask that we could welcome what you've done. So Father, do a work in our hearts, I pray. Open us up to seek your face. Even today. Amen.